Welcome to the Classy Ring Attire Podcast. I'm Joel.
I'm Chris.
And it's time to get classy.
Let's do it. And yet again, I have another story where I have to talk about something that I lied about here. No, I'm just kidding. No more gifts for Joel. Actually, I do have, there is a big gift for Joel, and it's something that we've both have been wanting for a very long time. This is going to be, hopefully, the last Classy Ring Attire episode that is recorded at super late hours because yours truly is finally getting put on regular people hours, and we can now record at a regular people time.
Do you remember when we first started this and we did the like Classy Ring Attire Nights thing for like 4 or 5 episodes before we like just kind of faded into the distance?
Yeah, because it just became our usual thing.
Because it's been nights this whole time.
Yeah. No. Well, that came about because we used to. You guys were very generous and would wait to watch pay-per-views until I got off work Saturday or Sunday nights when
right.
I did weekends. And so we would be watching pay-per-views until like 3 in the morning. And so that would be the hashtag. It would be hashtag CRA nights.
Right.
And I would give up tweeting about a third of the way through because, man,
sleepy. It's
hard to be that funny and that sleepy at the same time. Yeah. Anyways, what does this mean for the show? More guests potentially
because our
schedule can work better with other people's schedule. So we're planning to bring back some old favorites, bring in some new people. And there is talk eventually of possibly doing a live show that you can stream and watch probably on Facebook, maybe YouTube. We're not sure. We're still working out, you know, some ideas, but new and exciting things for Classy Ring Attire. Solely because Chris got a real person shift.
Hooray. All right. So this week in WWE.
Yes.
This is a tale of successes and failures for WWE as a company.
Peaks and valleys.
And so I want to talk about something that they did really well. And
sure.
I'm very grumpy about this.
You're very grumpy about something they did well.
Yes.
Okay.
They managed to pull off the ending of SummerSlam that they wanted.
Yeah.
And they did it through deceit.
Yep.
And they did it through trickery.
Yep.
But they did it.
They did it.
And it's this, you know, oh, I'm mad, but like, there's some begrudging respect of like, you figured out the way.
Yeah, I'm just mad. Like, if you've got to resort, like, let's be honest, like, that was the way that they ended, like, SummerSlam was pretty shady.
Oh, it absolutely was.
And it's sketchy, and it's slimy, and it's gross, and they did it. And I am so surprised that there isn't more outrage over this.
Well, I almost feel like it's obvious that, you know, we don't even need to, we're not breaking any new ground of, like, if you are to the point where you are going through these tricky steps to get it, like, clearly there's an issue with your product, and you need to adjust it.
Okay, so let's break this down just so that people aren't completely lost about what exactly we're talking about. We're talking, like, main event, Brock Lesnar, Roman Reigns, and they set it up before the match that Braun Strowman is going to cash in his Money in the Bank contract at the end of this match.
Facing whoever wins.
Right. So the match ends, Brock Lesnar beats up Braun, you know. I figured it was probably to like even things out between him and Roman a little bit.
Right.
And Roman ends up beating Brock clean.
Mm-hmm.
Some would argue that it's, you know, because of distraction or whatever. But Roman wins, and there's, you know, the crowd is buzzing because this cash-in's about to happen.
Right.
The cash-in doesn't happen, and the SummerSlam feed cuts out before the crowd in the stadium
is aware
that cash-in isn't happening.
Right.
So
we don't get the confetti cannons. We don't get the celebration.
No.
We get a really quick, hey, I'm the winner.
Right.
Oh, there's the logo in the corner.
Mm-hmm.
I guess Braun was knocked out in his little altercation.
Right. And I don't know, like, I haven't really seen footage or anything, but I'm really curious to see what the crowd was like. The moment they all realized that what was, you know, what they thought was going to happen didn't happen.
Right.
And it was all just one big shenanigans-filled scheme.
Yeah.
Like, again, like, if you have to bend that over backwards to get a positive fan reaction for Roman winning a match.
Right. And
that is a huge indictment.
And I get that. Like, and I completely agree with you. If you are to this point, if you are having to jump to this many hoops to get the ending that you want, mm-hmm. then that is an issue. However, that being said, somebody back there is clever.
No, 100%. Like, I never would have.
Like, they figured out.
Yeah.
They threaded the needle with the mm-hmm. exact right conditions.
No, the Seth Rollins cash in Money in the Bank to fix the ending of WrestleMania 31 seems like a cakewalk compared to this.
I know. What really just kind of it floors me just is impressive. Even if it's one of those like mm-hmm. I hate you, but damn it if I don't respect you kind of things.
Sure.
And just what really drives that home is so they do this on Sunday night.
Yeah.
They end it, and as soon as we realize we're sitting there like, oh, we're mad, and it's like, oh, I can't wait for this like you know leaked footage for when the crowd yeah. turns on them,
and it doesn't happen.
It doesn't happen, and it's like, oh, I can't wait until Monday when like, oh, they're gonna yeah. kill this on Monday.
I thought like Roman Reigns would come out to the ring in the opening segment because you know they can't help themselves,
mm-hmm.
and he would get a almost worse reaction than after WrestleMania 33
right.
with the Undertaker thing.
So I was waiting on that,
yeah,
and I was waiting on. And like everything Roman, I'm like, oh, they're gonna end this on Roman again, and
yeah.
it's gonna happen. They're gonna, and they brought the Shield out, and I'm like,
yeah.
that's the one other thing that would have worked,
right? Like, and I'm like, all right, well, you ended up with a match. You got a Universal Championship on an episode of Raw. It happened
right.
in almost 2 years.
Well, that's the thing. Like they announced, they let Roman do the announcing of saying this will be Finn Balor's rematch,
right?
Which everybody's been like, hey, this should happen,
and I'm like, we like that.
Yeah.
They have him saying things that we like.
So like, and you know, you cheer and you're like, yay, I like this. Oh, I accidentally cheered what Roman said.
Right,
you got me
exactly. And then you cheered the end of Raw where Roman is looking victorious because of the Shield.
Yeah,
but still,
and I'm just, it is just a thing where I'm like, I it's so like. And it's so frustrating to be like, you're putting so much effort. There is creativity
yeah.
back there.
There is. And again, I think I sent out a tweet on for Class of Ring Attire that night. That was something along those lines where it's like, if they are putting that much effort and creativity in just like getting fans to cheer for Roman at the end of the night, mm-hmm. if they had spent that kind of energy on a weekly basis on their show, on like the show in general with everyone, they would be unstoppable. The
right.
main roster shows would be unstoppable.
Well, and now, golly darn it, if I'm not interested, because is the Shield really back, or was this like a one-off to like get us through Brooklyn kind of thing?
Yeah.
Like I don't
nice
know.
Nice little like tying up the thread because, you know, this is the first time all three of those guys have been healthy at the same time.
Again. Right. And, yeah. and this might be like that was... That was the gauntlet. That was the thing we were sitting there. We're like, well, there's no way they're making it through. Like, SummerSlam, and then they got
yeah.
Raw and SmackDown. Like, there's no way they're making it through this gauntlet of Brooklyn
mm-hmm.
without this. And they did it, and they figured it out, and they're out, and they're safe now.
Yeah.
And they can go back to, like, piddly-dough backwaters and be like, oh, yep, they do like Roman here. But I'm interested because
yeah.
I want to know if this... Like, and
right.
I don't know. I don't know if
because
this plan
I, like,
is...
I can't see them... going back and not having Roman fight for the Universal Championship at
mm-hmm.
Hell in a Cell.
Yeah.
Like, that just seems preposterous to me that they wouldn't do that. But at the same time, like, I could also see them doing it, you know, well, we got a real, like, shortened Shield reunion last year,
mm-hmm.
got everyone back, we might as well go ahead and do that.
I would
like as promised.
I would really like to see the Shield
yeah.
with one of them being champion. Like, yeah, I get it's going to be
Roman.
Let
alone two of them.
Yeah. But, like, I, you know, I would like to see, we have not had, in who knows how long, a faction of main event players.
Yeah.
Like, factions are always one upper mid-carder
yeah.
and their lackeys.
Like, the Evolution formula, essentially.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. And I'm, like, thinking back, I was like, DX, maybe? Where it was, like, the faction was...
Like early DX with like Shawn and Triple H.
Yeah.
Triple H was kind of mid-cardy when
yeah,
it was just the two
I
of them in
so.
China. And then he was upper mid card really by the time Sean left in 98.
I mean,
and then like that's when Triple H kind of made the jump.
I mean, as always, I'm asking for the NWO, who are like,
well, sure,
the faction is the main thing, and has titles. But
that was just a main card, a faction made out of main card guys,
right?
You know?
But that's what the Shield can be now. These are all 100%. Three viable main eventers, mm-hmm. And they're in this faction together. And oh, I want to see that. But
again, just quick thing, the Shield coming back at the end of Raw this past week was just further evidence that Roman Reigns should have gotten a new theme song forever ago.
Yes, he should have.
Because it's like, it's the same, like, it's the gift that I love. It's like, yeah, I could tell it was you. You're the same guy. You're just wearing different clothes. Like,
yeah.
that's all it is they're just wearing different clothes. There's a different intro to it.
Yeah.
And that's it.
Well, like, Dean and Seth came out, and you're like, that's the Shield gear.
Yeah.
I see it.
Now, that was a good touch.
Yeah.
That was a good touch. Because, mm-hmm. again, Roman never bothered getting a different attire, so they already match.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. So, and it was a good moment. And then, like, and despite my, you know, bitterness and my, like, ooh, here's where we get to boo Roman, I'm excited.
Yeah.
No, the Shield came out, and I was like, oh, I like it. I like those guys. You know, immediately your thoughts go to like, SummerSlam to WrestleMania is just about the perfect amount of time to get a good Shield reunion, get some main events in there.
Have somebody turn on somebody. And then
start to have some issues in the Rumble, and we can have our triple threat.
That we've been assuming was going to happen at some point as a WrestleMania main event. They have had a triple threat, a Battleground or something?
Yeah, but that doesn't count.
Yeah, that doesn't count. But having that Shield main event at the end of WrestleMania is something that I think everyone would be okay with. Like,
yes.
That's the only, I feel like that's the only Roman Reigns main event of WrestleMania.
You can put Roman Reigns in the main event of WrestleMania for the fifth year in a row.
Yeah. But as long as it's a Shield reunion, I feel like everyone, or not Shield reunion, Shield triple threat.
Yeah.
I feel like everyone would be okay with it and everyone would be down with it.
Yeah. I think so.
Yeah.
And it's just, so. This goes down like it's, again, I'm begrudgingly doing it, but this has to go down as a victory for them to have been able to pull out this Roman celebration party, basically.
I'll give them the Shield reunion as a win. I refuse to concede SummerSlam because that it just doesn't sit well with me.
It impresses me. It impresses me that they knew they had two nights where they had to get through. And they found two different ways to get the show to close the way they wanted to.
And then they figured out SmackDown because they just had, you know, a tag match at the end where they, you know, had New Day win for the fifth time.
Right.
And that was a great way to end SmackDown. So they had the ending of all their shows pretty much mapped out.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And it worked out for them.
Yeah. But so we have this moment where WWE made a plan. They executed the plan. The plan went off without a hitch. They got exactly what they wanted. Played the audience beautifully.
Yeah.
And at the same time, they are failing and getting caught so flat-footed and in the dark by this Becky Lynch thing.
Yeah, 100%. Like, they could have the female Daniel Bryan right now. The way the fans have gotten behind her these last couple weeks, and especially with her, like, finally, you know, attacking Charlotte, just having enough of it.
Right.
And she's not getting heel reactions at all. Like,
no.
I feel like WWE is grossly overestimating how much Charlotte is over.
Charlotte is fine.
Yeah.
Like, I have no issue with Charlotte. It is... It is becoming obvious that she is, like, the female Roman Reigns of the division.
Yeah.
But it's the kind of thing where you're like, well, I guess somebody was going to be, and, like, I get it's Ric Flair.
Yeah.
And Ric Flair's daughter. And
but
so
the
like,
fact that she's already tied with Trish for the most number of championships is so absurd.
So
in such a short time. Like, I understand, like, it was going to happen eventually. It's Ric Flair's daughter.
I think, barring injury and, you know, career-threatening whatevers, I think there's a very good chance that she's going to break Ric Flair's record, and that's going to be...
Do you think they're going to have her break it and not John Cena?
No, I think John Cena will also break it.
Yeah.
But I think when she does it, it will also be a big deal.
Question.
Okay.
Does Charlotte break John Cena's record?
I don't think Charlotte breaks John Cena.
You think she ties at 16?
I don't.
Because I only see John Cena going to 17.
I think John Cena might go to 18.
Okay.
I think he's got two more in him.
I honestly could see them doing either.
I think he's got the one to break it.
Yeah.
And then I think he's several years down the road has another one in him.
Like he does like a Rock return or something?
Yeah, a Rock return, like a or he gets like really invested in like a, you know, Bret Hart document, like biopic or something.
Right.
And so he's like, oh, I'm promoting this and I'm going to promote it by coming back to wrestling, you know, and then do that kind of thing. But this thing with Becky, so Becky passed 3 weeks kind of.
Yeah.
And really a lot longer than that, but it's really come up in the past 3 weeks with,
I think the first time I think it really turned a lot of heads was Money in the Bank. When she, there was a spot in the show where she was the only one person in the ring, and she was going up the ladder, and the crowd loses their minds.
Yeah. Well, and she's been kind of pointed to as this female Daniel Bryan for a couple months now, and it's really gained heat over the past couple of weeks where it's like, oh, she's this, you know, she's got this underdog thing, and Charlotte is falling into this John Cena, Roman Reigns, get stuff handed to him.
Yep.
And we're getting really behind, you know, this basically Daniel Bryan story build, and then watching SummerSlam and watching her go after Charlotte and watching the explosion of excitement and the "you deserve it" chant and the her coming out on SmackDown
and delivering a great promo
like
I did not see that coming, because I honestly I wasn't a huge fan of Becky's promos. But seeing that, I'm like, okay, she's got something here.
No, she's got something great there.
Yeah.
And so it was a great promo that had, like, weird heel things forcefully inserted into it.
Yep.
It's like the pipe bomb where, like, he kind of stops the pipe bomb to be like, and all you people cheering, you're just as much the reason.
That's the moment
where
you're like, okay, he's still trying to be a heel right now.
Right, and that's the thing is, like, you're like, oh, he's still trying to do his character. He's still trying to
be a heel. But it works for CM Punk because we all know he's just a grumpy, callous person.
Right, and so...
But Becky's like, definitely not that.
But the you know she's shoehorning these like heel lines in there.
Yeah.
Not a dent in the cheers.
Yeah.
Her and Charlotte have this like back and forth advantage thing that like the cheers rise and fall and the boos rise and fall.
Yeah. Once it's obvious that Becky is getting the upper hand, the cheers go nuts. And then when it's the opposite, here come the boos.
Yeah. And so watching that, I'm like, this is stone cold.
A little bit, yeah.
This is, I mean, her, this, you don't do anything. Do exactly what you're doing.
Mm-hmm.
Don't force the stupid things. Don't make her run out and run away into the audience.
Yeah.
You don't have to turn Charlotte heel, which I know you don't want to do.
Mm-hmm.
But you have female Stone Cold in your hands, ready to go right now.
And I'm interested to see how this all plays out and how the fan reaction might differ from town to town.
Yeah.
I mean, because I don't think you're going to get anything as strong as the Marks and Brooklyn.
Yeah.
But I don't feel like there's going to be that big of a disparity from town to town. But you never know.
Yeah.
But I'll be interested to see all that.
I think they expected some cheers, and like it's Brooklyn and they were ready for it, and there was going to be a mixed reaction that was and I mentioned to you when you were watching it, that was Stone Cold coming down to help Mick Foley, that was Dolph Ziggler cashing in, that was a pop like few have ever gotten.
And you know, you've got all of this stuff planned for like Evolution and everything, and like this right here is like the wave that you need to be riding into Evolution. Like I don't care about what they're doing with anyone else, you know. Yes, the finals of the Mae Young Classic 2 is going to be exciting, and then whatever Ronda's doing is going to be exciting, and Alexa Bliss versus Trish Stratus is going to be fun and interesting to see. Your main event is whatever Becky Lynch is in. I'm assuming her versus Charlotte or something.
Becky Lynch versus Charlotte, your two top faces who hate each other on this show. That is a main event.
And I mean, even before that, put Charlotte and Becky Lynch in Hell in a Cell, mm-hmm. like in a cell, and watch what happens. Because I feel like Becky's only scratching the surface on what she can do with this form, this new form of a character for her.
Oh yeah.
And again, she doesn't have to be overtly heel. She could still stay the same character that she's established on SmackDown this past week.
Mm-hmm.
But just don't worry about going like overly heel one way or the other. Just speak, you know, true to that character.
Well, and it's the thing is like there's so much reasonable motivation.
Yeah.
Whether you have intentionally done it or not, you have built up months, if not years, of pent up frustration.
Yeah.
That we as the audience have
and
all
that's
been
what,
feeling.
That's what I'm worried about. You know, she's got, like we said, she's got something there. I'm afraid that there's going to be too many cooks, too many, you know, or whatever, that are going to have their hands on this, or too many people in her head telling her, like, you need to do something to make the fans boo you here. Because that's what I felt with those moments of her promo. It's like, great promo, except you could tell where someone from the company or someone, a writer or something, like, all right, well, you need to do something like, you know,
here's what
template
you say, yeah.
heel thing to say, number five. Like, yeah. that's what that felt like.
Oh, yeah. Here's what you say. Here's how you insult the home crowd.
Right.
Blah, 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 blah.
And I'm thank goodness she didn't go for, like, you know, I hate local sports team. Like, yeah, mm-hmm. I'm glad she didn't go that route, but I could see that happening down the line if,
yeah.
you know, they continue to fight the fan reaction. And again, like, this, and it goes back to, I feel like this is almost a similar situation when Seth first came back from the injury,
mm-hmm.
and he could have easily been the biggest face in the company, and, like, that next night, they turned him heel.
They turned him heel that night.
Was like, it that night?
Yeah, his opening promo was...
No, he came back at the end of a pay-per-view.
Did he? No, I don't think so.
Yeah, because he came out and gave Roman a pedigree.
Yeah, you're right.
And the next night, he was the opening segment, and everyone went
he
nuts.
He came out to a huge
and
reaction.
Immediately turned heel.
Mm-hmm.
And then they kind of weirdly turned a face like a couple months later, and it didn't feel right.
Yeah.
Like, it felt, you know, forced. And, this is one of those situations where WWE just needs to go with how the fans are reacting. And it might go against with what they want right that moment, but it would serve them well in the long run.
But you want to sell some goggles? This is how you sell some goggles.
You sell some goggles. You could sell some weird, like, last pun t-shirts
mm-hmm.
that they love. And again, it gets you some much needed heat and extra excitement about this all women pay-per-view coming
yeah.
up in a very short while.
Yeah.
So I don't know. Becky seems like guaranteed box office right now.
I think so. Like, I think you
if they would just tap into what the momentum that she's got.
Yeah, you accidentally created a megastar in a moment, right?
Yeah, 100%.
And so, just be aware of that, please.
For real.
A few other things to touch on SummerSlam,
mm-hmm.
since SummerSlam was the big.
Yeah.
Event of the week. And then I guess we should go back and talk about TakeOver later.
We should.
But a few things touched on SummerSlam still. One, there was a lot of squash matches.
Yeah, right?
And I didn't notice it at the time, but all the squash matches were Raw matches.
Yeah.
So you got Finn Balor and Baron Corbin. You got
Which
Bond.
I was okay with that.
Yeah, and I'm not saying, like, this isn't even necessarily a thing like, oh, squash matches mm-hmm. are bad.
Like, because I was going in there, like, I really don't care about this Baron Corbin Finn Balor thing.
No.
But then the Demon came out, and I'm like, I'm so invested in this right now, you know, and it makes sense for Baron, you know, if they want to keep the lore, you know, of the Demon
of
or
the
whatever.
Demon, the Mystique, yeah.
Then, yeah, this is a surprise to everyone, so it makes sense for him to win so quickly,
mm-hmm.
you know?
You have that one, you have Strowman and... Kevin Owens.
Yeah.
Which, again, I also get because, like, oh, we got to make people think that Braun Strowman is still up for a second match.
Right. And at the same time, they did, like, mention about, like, how badly Kevin Owens has been beat up the last
mm-hmm.
couple months.
Yeah.
So, a lot of people are saying that this completely buries Kevin Owens, but I really don't think so. Like, they really, like, I feel like they really laid into in the video package on how beat up Kevin Owens has gotten.
I don't think it did Kevin Owens any favors.
No.
And I wasn't super looking forward to this match. But I think Kevin Owens, it's going to take a lot more than that to bury Kevin Owens.
Right, and it's one of those situations where both guys is somebody that they want on the card.
Yeah.
Even though we assumed Braun Strowman was going to make an appearance no matter what.
Right.
But there are still guys that that WWE wants to have on their card no matter what. But yeah, I was surprised by that.
Yeah. Again, you have Ronda Rousey.
Yeah.
Which was not quite a squash match, but was a short enough match that it felt like a squash
match. Yeah, it's in the squash middle ground.
Yeah, and again, I'm okay with the shortness of that match. It felt good still.
Well, yeah, and Alexa Bliss, for the most part, is kind of established as a cowardly heel.
Yeah.
You know? Mm-hmm. So I, now finally gets a one-on-one, and Ronda doesn't allow Alexa to run away at all. And, yeah, it ends fairly quickly.
Yeah. The main event was bordering squash match. Roman taking,
yeah, it wasn't,
taking
it,
Brock
it wasn't,
Lesnar as quick as he did.
Yeah, the match itself wasn't exactly long. But I'm okay with how it ended. Like, we would probably have been yelling on this podcast about, the matches going too long and being ridiculous and being too slow or whatever.
Yeah. But, so we have these four matches. Individually, each of which was a fine squash match and a reasonable squash match, and I have no complaints about it. But we have these four, which means that somebody ran the time, and SmackDown matches altogether was almost twice as long as Raw matches altogether.
Well, good, because they get an hour less every week, and they decided to cash in.
Yeah, they did. Yeah. And then, like,
they saved up all their hours, and they're using it here.
Well, all the good matches. Mm-hmm. Just flat out, all the good matches were SmackDown matches.
Yeah, 100%.
I mean, Match of the Night has to go to AJ and Samoa.
Yeah, I would have liked an actual end to it, but it makes sense.
I'm okay without an end because,
I mean, Samoa dropped the savage line to AJ's wife, and AJ reacted accordingly.
Yeah,
and that is a DQ, sets up their feud to continue.
Plus, Hell in a Cell is next. They're a championship match. It would make sense for them to defend in Hell in a Cell. And the fact that this previous one ended in a no DQ justifies, we need to put this match in the cell, which is always an issue where they're like, well, it's, Hell in a Cell time, I guess.
But put AJ and Joe in a cell, I believe it.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I believe that's the next step in this feud.
Yeah.
It feels natural.
I forget, just because it was a very long show and it had a lot of matches. Nakamura and Jeff Hardy match didn't seem particularly long.
It was not particularly long, but it did have some back and forth.
Okay.
Namely,
yeah.
Jeff Hardy threw himself spine first onto the apron.
That, I don't know. I don't know how I feel about that, but I don't know how I feel about it. Like, I don't feel like it was necessary, But, like, that was the ending that they wanted, and... Nakamura is the kind of character and wrestler. Like, yeah, he misses that. He's going to capitalize on it and end of match. Like, makes sense. So, I don't know. I like that they started off with the Intercontinental Championship match. Makes sense. Gets the crowd jazzed.
Yeah.
Especially with Dean coming back.
Yeah.
Like, they have a winning formula there. Just starting off a show with Seth Rollins, just, they did that. They did that at Mania. And they did it again here, both with Seth picking up the win and the Intercontinental Championship.
Yeah.
Not to say that I wouldn't enjoy Seth Rollins main eventing, because the dude deserves it with the run that he's been on lately.
Absolutely.
But still, at the same time, it provides a much needed energy.
Yeah. And I guess we'll mention the tag team match, which also ended in a DQ. So there were two DQs, which is a little interesting.
Okay.
And again, neither one.
Oh, okay. We're talking about SmackDown.
Yeah.
The SmackDown tag team. Okay. Yeah. And interesting note in that match, Eric Rowan tore his bicep.
Really, I hadn't read that.
At SummerSlam. That's the reason why we got the title switch at SmackDown on Tuesday.
Right.
But at the same time, Eric Rowan did that whole match, which was not a... It was a no-DQ match, and it wasn't an easy no-DQ match. And the guy did the entire match with a torn bicep.
Yeah. Wasn't like, a no DQ match, was it?
Yeah, it was a no DQ match.
Didn't they get disqualified? Oh,
I'm talking about SmackDown. Okay, yeah. The second match
yes.
in the week.
Okay,
yes.
Absolutely.
But yeah, it was I'm glad that they got to main event SmackDown after being on the kickoff show.
Yeah.
They were on the kickoff show, weren't they?
I don't think so.
Well, either way.
The Raw tag teams were on the kickoff show. B team, go, go, go.
Ugh. I hate that theme song so much.
I love that theme song.
I hate it. It's so bad.
It matches their shirts.
Well, okay, they could have done so many other things that match that shirt. It's not exactly a hard theme to nail. But beyond that, should we get on TakeOver?
Yes.
Okay, so TakeOver, surprise, surprise. It was fun. It was great.
Yep.
In
a sudden turn of events from usual.
Yeah.
A departure from the
norm. I'm having a hard time deciding on match of the night for me. It's either Ricochet and Adam Cole.
Uh-huh.
Or obviously, like Ciampa Gargano 3.
Yeah.
I feel like Ricochet Adam Cole was the more polished match.
It was.
Kind of gives them a little. Because, you know, Ciampa Gargano was just like, you know, it was just violent and heavy.
Well, and part of with the Ciampa Gargano is I don't think it was better than 1 or 2.
Yeah.
I think it has that Spider-Man 3 quality to it.
Yeah. I'm still partial to the second one. That's still so far my favorite.
And so that's kind of a letdown. Mm-hmm. You always kind of feel like, oh, this, you know.
And it just feels like escalation at this point. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, with the amount of vitriol that's in that feud, having them just do a one-on-one, like, vanilla match sounds silly.
Yes, it does.
You know? So I understand, like, the want to continue, like, to up the ante with those guys.
Well, and if they just say, hey, next TakeOver, these guys are going to fight again, I think I'd be okay with that.
Sure. I don't know if they're going to go that route. If there was a way that they can just do War Games with just the two of them, they would probably find a way to make it fantastic both rings. I don't care.
Yeah, they would tear through it.
I don't know. But I that's why I'm leaning towards Ricochet and Adam Cole.
I mean, that was really just beautifully put on.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously Velveteen Dream has personal favorite.
Well, yeah, like he, well, yeah, I still think he's probably my favorite person in NXT right now. His match against EC3, it was all right. EC3 is not exactly a guy that you go to for like, all right, I am going to watch this fantastic wrestler wrestle. You know, he's a character, you know?
Right, mm-hmm.
It just so happens he's going up against another character who's also an amazing wrestler. Like, yes. That's just, Velveteen is just like the complete package. And honestly, after that match, I'm really surprised we didn't see him debut on one of the other shows.
Well, he had the Call Me Up Vince pants.
Right? Like, he's basically asking for it.
Yeah.
Like, he literally is asking for it.
Literally asking for it.
So, how do you feel about that? Do you think it was accepted like in a tongue-in-cheek kind of way? Or do you think it ruffled some feathers?
I don't think it did.
I don't think so either.
I don't think it should have if it did. Didn't ruffle my feathers or any fan feathers, I don't think.
No.
I mean, because it's... People put stuff on their tights all the time. That's like a common thing.
Yeah.
Dating back to WWF, where like, oh, there's, you know, something on the tights that relates in some way to the match or to the wrestler or to the whatever. So, and it is inside baseball saying, call me up Vince, but it's to NXT. Like, everybody there knows, you know, all these steps and stuff in the hierarchy of the of Titan Tower. Nobody's shocked or surprised.
No. Just quick, I don't want to get too into spoilers. I'm pretty sure this will be covered in, like, the first week of NXT next week.
Mm-hmm.
But apparently they're doing a Gargano Velveteen Dream thing. And Velveteen Dream has come out with a shirt that's clearly a Johnny Wrestling shirt that with, like, the wrestling part's been taped off and it's just Johnny Failure.
Yeah.
And apparently got a pretty good chant from the crowd.
Okay.
For Johnny Failure.
Okay.
But at this point, I feel like the crowd is just willing to go wherever Velveteen takes them.
Yeah, I think so. And
He's got, and it doesn't matter what crowd, like, usually we'd be like, oh, well, that's Full Sail, and that's Full Sail doing Full Sail things. But it doesn't matter where they go.
No, I mean, Full Sail is still their home crowd, which means they set the direction.
Right.
So when they start chanting this for this guy, and I go, oh, that'd be fun to chant that for that guy. And then when, you know, it comes around, I'm like, I'm ready to chant what Full Sail taught me to chant.
Yeah. But Velveteen is just, you know, he's just that kind of character that it doesn't matter what crowd he's in front of, he's going to just impose his will.
Yeah.
In general.
Yeah, pretty much.
So I'm interested in seeing where that goes.
I'm not ready for a call up. Like, I don't know how.
No, and I'm scared of a Velveteen call up.
I am, and that's part of it. It's like,
because I don't trust the main roster to consistently do something with him. Now, he could be very much a type of character where it doesn't matter. Anything he's going to do is gold. And by sheer fan, or like just fan interaction or fan involvement, is going to ensure that he's got a spot every week.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. So by that token, I would be okay with him being on SmackDown.
I mean, obviously, if we're picking between Raw and SmackDown, I'm going to pick SmackDown, but I do that for everybody.
I mean, I see the fear is Velveteen is going to be treated as the SmackDown's version of Elias, almost.
Yeah.
But that's not his character, and I don't know if he could pull that off as well. Because Elias, he's amazing because, I don't know, like, everything they do seems to suit him.
Well, and Elias, this was a character that he developed over time.
Sure, yeah.
Going back to, you know, his previously on, you know, before the main roster days. And, you know, we like to point out, like, oh, wow, he's good at guitar now because he has practiced a lot.
Go back and watch his original NXT stuff. Dude was garbage.
Yeah, and that was fun. And that was, if not necessarily part of the joke, it definitely didn't detract from the joke.
No.
But he, you know, has a guitar now and travels and has clearly practiced the guitar and is good at the guitar now.
Yeah.
So we see that evolution.
Yeah. But yeah, I over anyone else at NXT right now, he's the one I'm most worried about as far as, like, translating to
absolutely
the main roster.
He has,
not because of any of his own, any shortcomings of him, it's the shortcomings of creative on the main roster.
It's just, yeah, the je ne sais quoi of that character to be like, this is...
Any other guy, I could see them having a role and fitting in. You know, I am a little worried they're going to put Ricochet on 205, but be honest with you, he could get some eyes on, more eyes on 205.
205, every time I feel like I'm about be a weekly viewer of this show,
mm-hmm,
something just completely takes it away.
Yeah, and it might not even be the fault of anyone on 205. It's just, you know, especially after weeks like this where you're just like, I've been watching so much wrestling over the last
week.
Yeah,
you had Saturday, Sunday.
Right, and so I'm thinking about, do I want to watch 205 live? Yeah, maybe. They said Wale was going to be on commentary for some reason. So I would be curious about that. And I just didn't because I've watched so much wrestling this week and I just need a break.
Well, yeah, and there's...
And I'm, you know, let's also not forget, I'm also, like, still recovering from G1.
Well, and that's the thing that needs to be considered when you talk about stuff like 205 Live,
mm-hmm,
where, you know, you're talking about WWE versus
everybody else.
Yeah, New Japan or
yeah,
Lucha or whatever. But I am much more likely to, like, all right, I've watched three shows of WWE with Raw, SmackDown, NXT.
Yeah.
I am at this point much more likely to watch, you know, an episode of Lucha or what New Japan is doing.
Mm-hmm.
Or honestly, right now, Impact, because Impact is being interesting, than WWE's fourth most important show.
Sure, yeah.
And part of that just comes down to enthusiasm on the part of the creators.
Yeah.
Where as much as I complain about Raw and grouse about Raw, and this is how they did it wrong, and this is how it should have been booked, and this is why I know everything about wrestling, and the people who have built their lives around it know nothing and are all idiots.
Right.
Like, excuse me, I have a podcast. And as much as I do that, Raw is still the passion point and the excitement of this company.
Yeah.
And they throw their all, what they think is their all, into this show.
And there was a good while where you could see some enthusiasm and emphasis behind SmackDown, but even that's starting to wear off, it feels like.
And that doesn't happen on 205 Live.
No.
The guys do their best, bless them.
Yep.
They try really hard, and they have plots that I will care about, you know, from time to time, like this whole, like, let's name a GM kind of thing.
Yeah.
And they'll have things like, you know, we know it didn't work out great, but they put Enzo on there, and it's like, okay, you're putting this type of character here to, like, pull these eyeballs. But it still, on a weekly basis, feels like the show that they care the fourth most about.
Yeah.
And I'm going to watch somebody else's number one over your number four right now. Your number four is not competing with everybody else's number four.
No.
And to break it down a little more complexly, I guess, you know, we talk about NXT being the number three, but you also look at, like, this is Triple H's number one.
Yeah.
This is, you know, these guys.
This is still, like, his passion project.
And it feels like a passion project. Yeah. Like, Lucha feels like a passion project. Like, NXT, or, like, Impact has recently felt like a passion project.
Yeah. 205 Live is somebody's back burner. Like, even if it's Triple H running it now or whatever, it's still his back burner.
It doesn't feel like anybody's passion project.
Yeah. And I don't know if there's any one name that could be inserted in the 205 Live roster that could fix, or that could overcome that. Like, I just feel like it all comes down to perceived enthusiasm or lack thereof.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't have a solution necessarily.
Right.
Other than part of the problem is, you know, if anybody, you know, weighing 205 or less is popular enough, they're getting trucked right over to the big show. They're fighting for the real title.
And honestly, I'm ready for Cedric Alexander to move on to the main show.
Yeah.
Or have a run in NXT.
Yeah, I mean, these guys that I am, you know, Cedric Alexander is obviously my favorite from the show.
Sure, yeah, as he should be.
But it feels like he's stuck in the rookie league. It should feel like he has achieved the top status of what he can achieve.
Yeah.
He should be king of the mountain, knocking down the opponents, and it doesn't feel like that. It feels like he's holding a mid-tier title.
I feel like the only person that has been able to overcome any sort of lack of enthusiasm as far as from creative has been Neville.
Yeah.
Because, like, let's be honest, like, when Neville was
King of the Cruiserweights,
even without the title, I was watching every week.
Yeah.
You know, now again, like, 205 was still fairly
new
and fresh.
Then. Yeah.
But at the same time, I wanted to see what in the world Neville was going to do or what he was going to say, because he was such an interesting character.
So, you know about this new Oscar that they're introducing, Outstanding Achievement in Popular Film?
Yep.
For those who don't know, really quick.
Really feels like a participation award. But,
well, yeah, really, really quick background. In an effort, not officially, but we all know it is, in an effort to try and kind of boost ratings for the Oscar telecast.
To cast a wider net, so to speak.
Yeah, they are adding proposing to add a category called Best Outstanding Achievement in Popular Film. Basically, now we're going to give Star Wars and Marvel a Oscar kind of thing.
See, and that's a question I want. And this is, again, I'm going to dive deep in something that isn't wrestling. And so are you. Doesn't there need to be, like, some sort of, like, box office qualifier?
Well, part of it is they've not said at all what, you know,
like,
this is.
Because then they have to define what's popular almost, you know?
Yeah, so I wanted to talk about wrestling.
I know. But these are, like, legit,
yes,
like, curious things.
Okay,
I have,
so real quick, interesting tidbits.
Mm-hmm.
One, originally, the very first Oscars had Best Picture, which was called like Outstanding Feature Film or something at the time, and then they had Outstanding Artistic Direction or whatever.
Right.
Basically having two Best Pictures, one for popular movies and one for artistic indie dramas. Yeah. And there is a genuine, sincere argument that says, hey, you know, Avengers Infinity War and, you know, whatever Woody Allen puts out this year are not exactly comparable. You're doing, there's some level of apples to oranges there.
One's going to play to a huge audience. The other one will be heralded as a, you know, cinematic masterpiece or whatever you want to call
it. Well, and part of it is just they take, to pull off these two movies takes a very different but still equally admirable skill set on the part of the creators. So that was kind of the idea. And so there was a movie, Wings, that was a big major blockbuster for its time. And there was another movie that won this, you know, more artistic thing. Basically, that was done away right away so that there wasn't confusion as to, or argument of, like, what is the real Best Picture of the year?
Right.
And so since then, there's been this one Best Picture. One of the problems that is going on right now is that there has been genuine talk for Black Panther getting at least an Oscar nomination or deserving an Oscar nomination.
Yeah.
There's been a lot of push for that and talk for that. And now immediately, you know, there is this sudden thing. It's like, oh, we're talking about this outstanding, you know, achievement in popular film, which Black Panther becomes the guarantee, you know, if not outright winning, it's a guaranteed nomination for something like that.
Yeah.
And
like the only two that I feel like would probably be in the same, because like the title, like I said before, like it alludes to economic success,
right?
Really, if it's popular. So the only one that I feel like could come close to being compared to it is Infinity War.
Well, and so it doesn't. I don't know, because there is,
it's
like,
going to become the Marvel movie category,
right?
Essentially, Star Wars.
They have not given any parameters here,
right?
And there's part of the issue where ABC is the channel that the Oscars, and so ABC, which is owned by Disney, who also owns Marvel, who's like, hey, we would like a Marvel or a Star Wars movie to be getting these, and you know, we would like them to get some Oscars. So there's that issue. There's also the issue with Black Panther specifically, where this movie is a huge cultural touchstone that you can't ignore. And now it's going to be the one that is suddenly the very first time, your first time in this category, that has a little bit of like separate but equal feeling towards it in a Best Picture category, like, and you want to give that to Black Panther.
Yeah.
The correct thing to do is to just do away with this right now.
Yeah, 100%.
Anyway, to tie all this together,
what you need to do is just go ahead and nominate Black Panther for Best Picture.
For Best Picture, yes.
Like, period.
Yeah. To tie all this together, I feel that the Cruiserweight Championship is stuck with this same thing. It is the top tier title of its show.
Yeah.
It is meant to be like, you know, oh, this is just like the Universal Champion. This is just like the WWE title. You're like, no, it's not.
Mm-hmm.
And they don't even do that with NXT. Like, NXT, this is the top title of NXT, but we're all aware that it's the rookie league.
Yeah.
And so there is ladder to climb past NXT.
Yeah.
But even doing that, the NXT title feels more prestigious than the Cruiserweight title, which is supposed to feel like there's no more ladder left to climb. You are the Cruiserweight champion, which means that for you as a wrestler, this is your crowning achievement. This is the top of your division. This is where you can, you know, this is the highest heights that you can reach. And it just flat doesn't feel like that.
Yeah. Honestly, I go back to, it was a solution I had a while back on what would help 205 Live, and just drop the live and have it tape at Full Sail. You can even have big, like, Cruiserweight events, like almost like pay-per-views or whatever, big network specials at Full Sail, since they're not getting NXT takeovers anymore.
Yeah.
Give them the cruiserweights.
So drop the live, like you said. Also drop the 205 because it's a weirdly arbitrary feeling number, especially when I know that you're not adhering strictly to
it. Yeah, there's no way in the world Cedric Alexander is still 205 or under.
Yeah, so it's the cruiserweights. Like, Cruiserweight Classic was a great name for that tournament. Just keep doing that. Call it that, the Cruiserweight Classic, or the Cruiserweight something, whatever.
They need a soft reboot of 205.
Yes.
And the way you do that, have another Cruiserweight Classic.
That would be great.
Kick it off. Winner gets to face whoever is the Cruiserweight champion, and that'll be the debut episode of whatever you're calling the new Cruiserweight show.
But they
taped it Full Sail.
They had a second Cruiserweight Classic, essentially. When Enzo left,
and
here's this, you know, tournament, and there was this whole, like, just give it to Cedric Alexander. He has been number one contendering this for 9 years at this point.
Yeah, like, he's been the number one contender against, like, so many different opponents, and the match just never happened.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But we had the same thing with, like, oh, this is a, you know, tournament thing. And it didn't recapture the magic. It didn't feel special like the Cruiserweight Classic did.
No, because again, these matches are happening at these large arenas at the tail end of a SmackDown airing. I was going to say taping, but that made no sense. But like the tail end after SmackDown, and a lot of it was after a half hour of Mixed Match Challenge.
That's true.
So that's like these people are even less interested because, you know, is at the tail end of this taping, and all the quote-unquote exciting stuff involving the people that they know has already happened.
It's well done.
Because, like, a lot of these Joe Schmoes don't understand who these Cruiserweight guys are.
Have we gotten any information on what's going to happen with 205 when SmackDown moves back to Friday?
I haven't heard at all. Or I don't have any idea.
I mean, it's not a big deal. They can just air it on Friday instead of Tuesday.
Sure. And at the same time, they could also, again, tape it and air it on FS1 or something like that, or, you know, one of the others, like what they're rumored to do with, like, maybe a Talking Smack or something.
Right.
But have it on one of the other Fox networks. They could do that with the new Cruiserweight show or 205 or whatever they want to call it.
Yeah.
Could easily make that happen.
So, yeah, this isn't super relevant or time sensitive, I admit, because this is all about how I didn't watch the 205 Live this week.
Yeah.
But I hate that there's wrestling I don't like.
Yeah,
that I'm not interested in. Because, like, even in its darkest days, TNA was fun to make fun of.
It was.
It was fascinating to watch this, like, cockroach of a show never die.
Yep.
You're like, oh, this is it. And you're like,
and
oh.
It's still going. You're calling it Impact, but
it got interesting. Slammiversary is still a thing. Bound for Glory is still a thing.
Mm-hmm.
And like, remember when we were talking about, like, Vince was putting in offers to buy the library, and we were like, that's it, close up shop. And apparently not. So, like, even shows that I've not loyally watched on a week-to-week basis have been interesting still, by and large. And just 205 Live is not.
Yeah. You know what? I just had a really great thought pop into my head.
I'll be the judge of that.
Next week, make sure I got my dates right. Yeah. Next week, we can do an all-in preview show.
Really?
All-in is not this weekend, but the weekend after.
Wow. That's
September 1st.
That was fast.
Uh-huh. Yep. Next week, we can do our all-in preview show where we go through the card.
Okay.
Because I'm actually kind of excited. I'm excited for, like, the stuff that's airing on WGN, like, that first hour.
Yeah.
Because it's the, over budget battle royal.
Uh-huh.
And the winner, and there's Cole Cabana's in it. A whole bunch of people are in it. They don't even know how many people are going to be in it. Like, they don't even know what the numbers are going to be yet. There's a female that's in the match. The winner gets to face, I can't remember. I'm blanking on the guy's name. The guy who's the current Ring of Honor World Heavyweight Champion. They get to face him later on the night.
Yeah. Okay.
So I'm excited about that. Like, I'm excited about the whole show. Like, I'm excited to see where this goes and how it, and I'm assuming it's going to go well.
This is a big deal, and it cannot be understated how big of a deal this is.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's something to look forward to and find out.
So I will next week. Give you some guys, you know, something to tune in for, because we'll definitely be talking about All In.
Yeah. Okay. Anything else this week?
That'll be it.
As always, you can follow us on Twitter at CR Attire, where we live tweet Mondays, appropriate Sundays, just when we were live. We tweet. You should follow us.
Yes. And if you have any questions, comments, anything you wanted to bring up on the show, if you were enraged by the end of SummerSlam and how they just shenanigans all of us,
or if you just, you gotta,
or if you
have
were,
that respect feel,
or if you were into it and you liked how they did it, send all the.
No, not if you liked how you did it. If you liked how they did it, you know, that's wrong. But if you
liked how they did it, we have a spam folder. but send all that to our email. That's classofringattire@gmail.com.
We're also on iTunes. Easy way to follow the podcast. Give us a rating of
5 stars.
Or write a review. That helps us out as far as iTunes goes.
And if you have, if you're listening to us on insidepulse.com, leave us a comment on there. We'd love to hear from you.
We're also on Facebook. Easy way to follow Chris. Easy way to follow myself, see what other kind of things we're working on.
Yep.
Until next time, stay classy and huzzah.
Huzzah.